Hey, it's Dolla White, and this is the Dolla White Podcast. My guest this week is Carla Salinieri, a.k.a. the Latina Health Coach. She's here today to tell us that we all eat like shit. Kidding. Kind of. Seriously, I learned a lot from our conversation, so finish up your deep-fried donut while I roll the intro. Welcome to the Dolla White Podcast.
Pull up, get it. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolla White Podcast.
Episode 7 now of the Dolla White Podcast. My guest today, Carla Salinieri, the Latina Health Coach. How are you?
How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to kind of kick this off with where I'm at health-wise, my wife is a complete vegan at this point, which she wasn't a year ago. I am now vegetarian. The last time I had meat, I had a burger on March 1st of 2020 and no meat since then. Having said that, I'm a sucker for pizza. I'm a sucker for gelato. And I know you're mostly plant-based. So let's start there. The benefits of being plant-based.
I think that it's important to highlight the difference between all of these buzzwords, right?
Right.
Like now the buzzword is like, I'm going plant-based or vegan or vegetarian. And the difference is that being vegan means that you're not eating anything that is derived from animal, not even honey, because honey is derived from animal. So nothing that is derived from animal. We have some extreme vegans that won't even have different types of wines because what they use to seal the cork is used with like animal products, right? So like you have like that extreme of veganism. Then you have vegetarianism, which allows dairy. Then you have plant-based. And plant-based is just that. You eat mostly plants, with the exception of sometimes you'll have dairy, sometimes you'll have eggs. What it all boils down to is what is the best lifestyle that works for you. Because what works for you doesn't necessarily work for your friend or for your neighbor. Bioindividuality is super important when choosing what lifestyle you want to live, especially when it comes to what food choices you make and how that impacts your health, because everybody's different. There are no two people that are the same, not even identical twins. So everyone's different. Everybody has to choose differently.
You do recommend plant-based or at least trying to cut out some meat that we mostly eat here in this country, because that's another thing I want to talk to you about later on. But it feels like when I was growing up that the main course was always the meat and then everything else was surrounding the meat, and getting your mind out of that can be tough, but I feel better with no meat. Do you believe that the less meat, the better for most people?
Absolutely. And when I hear people, especially my clients, say, I want to go vegan, I want to go plant-based. And I say, why don't you start by implementing a whole foods diet first? Whole foods meaning more from the earth, less from a package, more leafy greens, more fruits and vegetables. So let's not focus so much on the title of what you're going to become,
right?
And more so about the food choices that you're going to make in order to better your health, right? What does that mean? That means incorporating seasonal fruits and vegetables, because as we know, they're healthier. Why are they healthier? Because there's an abundance of crop. They have to travel less distances in order to get to you, right? So they're richer in vitamins, nutrients, essential amino acids, which are the building blocks of what we need in order to build a strong body and be as strong as possible, right? And it's cheaper, right? Like, because there's so much of it. So you don't get strawberries, cherries, and blueberries in the dead of winter because it's not a seasonal fruit. You stick to oranges and apples and dates and things like that because that's what you eat in the season. So it's shifting your mindset to eat whole food, which are mostly plants that are seasonal, the best quality for your budget, and then less meat. When you center your meals around vegetables and fruits and not necessarily around the cut of meat that you have in your freezer, listen, I'm Puerto Rican, That's how I grew up. My mom would call me at 4 o'clock and be like, there's frozen chicken in the freezer. Can you take it out? Because that's what's for dinner today.
Right.
That's how I grew up. So the whole meal was centered around the meat. Now, if you flip the script and you center the meal around what seasonal vegetables you have, what herbs and spices you have, then the meat becomes the afterthought. Until it becomes a condiment right. as well.
Do you think that in America, and I think about this all the time, because during the week, I eat very clean Monday through Thursday. I'm talking like smoothies, you know, I put things in a blender and blend it up.
Sure.
Steamed vegetables, that's basically what I get by Monday through Thursday. Friday, I go a little crazy. I have what I want Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No meat, but I have what I want. But I feel like we have a mindset in this country to where everything has to taste amazing. And every meal has to be some kind of delicious experience. But that's not what our body needs food for. Our body needs nutrients and vitamins and minerals and all these other things that maybe they don't taste that great. And maybe we need to get out of the mindset that every meal has to just be delicious, because it doesn't. We just need to feed our bodies what they need.
I have to say that I don't necessarily agree with you on that point.
Okay.
I think that the answer is readjusting our taste buds. When we reduce the amount of artificial sugar that we consume, peaches taste different.
Mm.
You know, our taste buds have like a peach and they're like, wow, they're like bursting with flavor. The thing is that we have accustomed ourselves to eating such highly processed, chemically processed foods that we don't even know what natural food tastes like anymore. So then when we go back to eating whole foods or foods that are in more of their natural state, they don't taste the same to us. But in reality, that's what they should taste like. So what I tell my clients, or when I teach my courses, my workshop, my cooking classes, I say, guys, let's open up our minds. Let's unlearn everything we've learned before, all these recipes, all the ways that things should taste. And let's open up our minds and our taste buds to different experience. Yes, these foods are equally as delicious. We just have to forget about all the other stuff we've been trained to find delicious and find this new way of eating just as delicious. And it is possible.
I will give that a try for sure. Another question I had is, do you believe that it is in our nature as human beings to consume meat?
Are you trying to get me into trouble here?
No, I'm asking a question because I'm gonna tell you this. Rarely do good sentences start with, I saw a video on YouTube, but I saw this video on YouTube.
I know.
The argument the guy was making was that if you put a toddler, a live bunny and an apple in a playpen, the toddler's going to play with the bunny and eat the apple, right? Just naturally, that's what the toddler's going to do. But if you put, you know, a tiger in a cage with a bunny, the tiger is then going to eat the bunny. So his point was, instinctually, humans maybe aren't supposed to eat meat. And the fact that we cannot consume meat raw is another layer to it. Like, we have to alter the meat in some way. We have to cook it. We have to season it. We have to do something. Otherwise, we'll get sick. So do you think it's just natural for human beings to eat meat?
So here's what I think. And I'm not a doctor, and I don't pretend to be a doctor. And
understood.
I don't want to like make any scientific statements or anything like that. But I do have made this observation in my time during being a holistic health coach and so on. When meat is kept in the refrigerator for a certain amount of time or kept out, it rots. There's no nutritional value. It rots. And in some cases, it can make us really sick. And what happens when it's sitting in our digestive tract for a certain amount of time? I'm just going to put that out there and let people decide what they think. Another thing is, I think that in this country, and I speak for this country because this is what I have the most experience in, is there isn't a balance, right? It's all, we have this like all or nothing mentality. There's keto, there's like this, there's that. And it just becomes too much of just one thing versus a healthy balance of fruits, vegetables, meat in small pieces or in small dosages, ounces, whatever you want to call it. So someone that does consume small amounts of meat, are they going to be sick down the line? I'm not one to say that,
right?
Even though I do have my own personal beliefs. But if we have a healthy balance, it's always just better. Again, it's shifting the mindset. It's about having a balance. You know, I was reading an article the other day about how there are a lot of people that pray against plant-based diets and people that follow a vegan diet saying, well, where are you getting your essential amino acids from? There are essential amino acids in a large variety of fruits and vegetables. However, if you're constantly eating just one fruit and one vegetable or two fruits and two vegetables, you're not getting adequate amount of essential amino acids, which as we know are the building block for a healthy and strong body. But neither are the essential amino acids in meat either. So you have to have a large assortment of different types of fruits and vegetables during different times of the year in order to make up for all of the phytonutrients, vitamins, minerals, everything that we need in order to put together all of that that is important to keep us free of disease, reduce the inflammation in our body, and essentially keep us healthy. So it's all about balance.
You know, I never thought about that. When I started, I'm a picky eater anyway, and I ate horribly throughout college and throughout my 20s, part of my 30s. And my whole goal when I started getting healthy was, let me find two or three things that I can eat daily. And I will eat those same two or three things all the time, which I still think is better than eating Burger King every day, right? But to your point, absolutely, I probably should branch out to some different fruits and different vegetables and consume those for all of the benefits that you just spoke about. So, you know, I always like to say during my podcast, I like to learn something, and you just completely took me to school there. And I definitely appreciate that. My wife and I like to travel when there's not a pandemic going on. We like to go out of the country. And one thing that we've learned in most countries that we've been to is that the food is always so much more fresh overseas than it is here. And you can literally taste that difference. Even if you're eating pizza, it seems like that pizza is a healthier pizza than I'm going to get over here because it's made with fresh ingredients, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we can talk about pizza in Italy and the fact that it has less gluten than the pizza here in the United States, right? So a lot of people, when they come back from Europe, they're like, I lost weight. It's probably because I walk so much. I'm like, no, it's probably because you were having minimally processed food and incredibly fresh ingredients packed with nutrients, right? That your body was like, oh my God, give me so much more of this. It's incredible. And one of the things that I like to do on my social media, the Latina Health Coach, and on my website is blend different cultures of different foods because there's so much to learn. I love incorporating ghee, for example, in a lot of my cooking. Ghee is clarified butter. A lot of people know it as Indian butter. So basically, it's just unsalted butter that has been cooked at 425 degrees. The fat protein has been removed, which is what people who are lactose intolerant would be sensitive to. So it makes this butter be okay for people who have a sensitivity to lactose, which is probably half of the population, but people don't want to admit it. And ghee is so much more flavorful and it has so many nutrients. So using ghee to toast quinoa, for example, which is, you know, from South America. Yeah. And it's like, it's such an amazing seed because quinoa, some people consider it to be a grain, but it's actually a seed. Is such an incredibly nutrient dense protein that you can incorporate, and it's a great substitute for rice. So here you are blending like quinoa, ghee, lentils, curry, which is a blend of different spices like turmeric, black pepper, cayenne, fennel. So mixing all of these cultures together, which are incredibly gut healing and so good for the body, and bringing them together to create these dishes, because to your point, they all these countries just offer these incredible amount of nutrient dense meals that are not only so tasty, but so good for you too.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was we are a little worried because we used to travel overseas and a lot of countries, they're like America, like the main course is always kind of meat based. You know, we went to, I think the last trip we took before the pandemic was we went to Barcelona, Spain. And we've been talking about like whenever we are able to travel out of the country again, like what are we going to eat? So help us. Like, what are we going to eat? Tell me.
First of all, Barcelona is amazing. It's one of my favorite places. ever. The population of vegans, plant-based eaters, you know, it's a trend. First of all, it's a trend all over the world.
Right.
And I would be surprised if you wouldn't be able to find something that suits your dietary needs while traveling abroad. First of all. Second, there are so many delicious ways to substitute. I mean, you can always have beans. You can always have tofu. Mushrooms are an incredible source of fiber that have that meaty consistency that are a really great substitute. And then just like we were just saying, they just have so many assortments of seasonal vegetables and fruits. And I'm sure that you guys would be fine.
The other problem that she's run into starting the vegan process is I think she really is trying to completely just free herself of all animal products. And so just for an example, like the other day, I brought home some frozen French fries that we were going to do in the air fryer, which you would think French fries, nothing animal about that, right? But you look on the bag and it's like they're, some of the preservatives are derived from animals. And it's like, is there like a cheat code? Like, how do we get past this?
You can't. And you have to be an advocate for yourself and your family. I say this constantly. You have to read the labels. You have to educate yourself on what these things mean because it's not black and white. It's not crystal clear. I mean, listen, natural flavors, they can get away with anything. The umbrella of what natural flavors means, it can mean anything just as long as it's something that has life. So it can be a plant, it could be an animal. And when we're talking about things like vanilla natural flavor, like we don't really know where it's coming from. That's why I always say stay away from natural flavors unless you know and you're absolutely sure where it's coming from. It's that detailed. And we have to pay attention to the ingredient list because that's another thing, right? Like when we're going vegan at first, it's really easy to then start having more processed foods because you kind of don't know what to do. So you grab whatever bags, say vegan, or gluten-free or whatever it is. And then we kind of ignore what's on the back of the label. And sometimes that's worse because now you're substituting one thing that you think is bad for something that could potentially be even worse, which could increase inflammation in the body and which obviously we know can lead to a bunch of other health issues in the future. So it's just a matter of educating ourselves. I cannot stress this enough. Doing our homework, researching, educating ourselves, reading, listening to podcasts, and opening our minds, unlearning what we thought we knew before, and just relearning, reintroducing, and just allowing ourselves to just kind of go with the process.
I know you probably recommend, rather than going and getting a package of frozen and fries, get a couple of potatoes, cut them up, learn how to make your own fries. That way you know exactly what's in it, right?
It'll taste better.
That would not surprise me at all. But we have a 3-year-old daughter and I, you know, we both work. And that's the other thing I wanted to get into is this is like hard work if you're trying to eat healthy with a busy schedule, right? Like when I wasn't eating healthy, I could go through a drive-thru and I could have my meal of within 5 minutes. Eating healthy is harder. There's not a drive-through window that serves you healthy food. What do you tell your clients that have super busy schedules and how to eat healthy, I guess, and still have time for everything else in life?
So I'll tell you from experience, because I also have a small child. My daughter's 6 years old. She's also plant-based. She's never had any animal products since she was born. So we have been really strict with that. And my advice is plan ahead. You have to. You cannot rely on somebody else, meaning like a store or a restaurant, especially during these times. So you just have to plan ahead and make sure that your house is always fully stocked so you can either grab and go, or you know that when you get home, you have something that you can either make quickly or that is already prepared for you. This is just the type of lifestyle where you just have to make sure that you're always prepared. Think about it this way. You're investing in your future, in your health. That's the way I see it. You either pay the farmer now or you pay the doctor later. Like, I mean, this is just your life. You want to live a long, healthy life. Notice the difference between a long life and a long, healthy life. Because what's the point of living to 80, 90 if you're hooked up to dialysis machines, if you're hooked up to oxygen machines? And the only way that that's going to work is if we put in the work now.
I agree. And the pay the farmer now or the doctor later is what my next question was for you, because I know a lot of people say that eating healthy can be expensive, and I understand that. But I remember for a long time before my wife and I went down our vegetarian vegan journeys, we switched to Trader Joe's, and my grocery bill actually went down at Trader Joe's. Now, I know Whole Foods is also known as Whole Paychecks, and I get it. If we go get some things from Whole Foods, and it can get pricey. You know what I mean? Like, we make a good living. We live comfortably. And sometimes I'll go to Whole Foods and I'll be like, we'll be amazed at how much I just spent. But Trader Joe's sells like good organic foods at a really good price. Are there other places that do that other than just Trader Joe's? Give us some advice on shopping organically whole on a budget.
The first thing I'm going to say to that is when you start changing the quality of the ingredients, you eat less, because the body asks for nutrients in the form of hunger. Think about it in this way. Let's say get yourself a bagel and a nice coffee with some half and half, and you sweeten it with some sugar. And then 2.5 hours later, you're like, man, I'm hungry. But like, why am I hungry if I just had a bagel and blah, blah, blah? That's because you had about 1200 calories that are completely empty. There is absolutely no nutrient density in anything that you ate for breakfast. That is completely metabolized as sugar. You have just spiked your blood insulin levels. Your body got a boost of energy, but now your insulin levels came down, and now the body needs sugar again in order to give you more energy. So the body is like, give me nutrients because I need energy. So you're hungry again. Naturally, you're going to eat more. So there you go, spending more money to then eat another meal 2.5 hours later after you just had that bagel. So now think about it like this. Let's say that you had a breakfast of overnight oats with some really good quality almond butter and some nuts and seeds and seasonal fruit or whatever. And you feel good because you just had a smart meal. And by smart meal, I mean a meal made up of fat, fiber, and protein, which are essential nutrients and vitamins that the body needs in order to stay full longer, have energy, mental clarity, and focus. You're not going to be hungry for like 3 to 4 hours after that meal. So you're snacking less, you're eating less, your grocery bill goes down naturally. Another thing is eat seasonally. When you eat seasonally, it's cheaper. Don't buy strawberries in December. So stick to the seasons. You know, you can go on my website for a seasonal guide. I post on every season, or just Google this information. Also, the Environmental Working Group, which is a great website or great reference tool, which also has an app that you can download on your phone, releases every year the list of clean 15 and dirty dozen. That means that here is the clean 15, right? These are the list of fruits and vegetables that in the event that you aren't able to find them organic, it's okay if you don't buy them organic. Things like pineapple or avocados don't always have to be organic. So you can save in that respect. And then the list of the dirty dozen, which are the ones that are higher in pesticides, for example, strawberries because they're so porous, or spinach because they're highly sprayed. So those are the things to keep in mind. So there's like a balance. This way you can spend less and you can budget better. There's also other stores, Thrive Market. It's like an online Costco/Whole Foods where you can get things by diet, like whatever diet you're on. So like whatever, you know, dietary restrictions you have. And it's actually, it cuts out the middleman of like a brick and mortar store. So they deliver right to your house and it's cheaper. So those are like different ways that you can work around. Also, farmers markets. Get to know your farmers. What better way to know the crops and where they came from and how to work with them? Like, how amazing is that? Every time you go to the farmers market, you come home with an abundance of amazing products you've never worked before. And you introduce them to your family and you try new recipes you've never tried before. Always farmers market shopping is always cheaper, and you're supporting a good cause. You're like keeping it local, you're supporting local farms, you're supporting small businesses. So those are really good ways in order to keep things under budget.
You just completely blew my mind a minute ago when you said the more bad foods you eat, we'll call them bad foods, I guess, the hungrier you'll be. Because like I said, Monday through Thursday, I eat clean. Most of the time, I don't get that hungry. I have a schedule. I know what I'm going to eat. If I get hungry, I eat. I'm not one of those people that's going to starve myself. If I get hungry, I'll eat some grapes or an apple or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't believe in just sitting around being hungry. But on the weekends, I'm eating like whatever I want. But I'm eating more food more frequently because I guess I'm eating a lot of empty calories and my body is telling me, hey, dumbass, you know, get some nutrition in here. That gets me to this other thing, because let's say it's my birthday week and I just eat just whatever I want, you know, Monday through Sunday. And then I go back to being healthy the following Monday. At some point during that week, I'm going to get a massive headache. I'm going to get some shakes. I'm going to need to lay down. I'm going to get like a migraine and I'm going to feel awful. What is my body going through at that moment?
The chemical reaction, and everybody can Google this, has a similar reaction to that of drug. So when the body isn't getting these things, it goes through withdrawals. The body's detoxing. That's why there's highs and lows constantly. That's why we crave sugar. That's why when we're not feeling good, we'll crave a drink, we'll crave chocolate, we'll crave sugar, because it's that chemical reaction in the brain as well. So when the body doesn't get it, then it's like freaking out because it's like literally detoxing from it. But how amazing do you feel after you haven't had that for such a long period of time?
It feels right? Good. Yeah.
Which should be reason enough for you not to do it every weekend, right? Or at least do it less until you don't do it as often, because it's also doing your body more harm than good. If you're doing this constantly to your system as well.
I used to only do Saturday and Sundays as cheat days. And then when I gave up meat, honestly, like to keep weight on, I was dropping weight, which is fine because I was a little overweight at the time. I was okay with dropping weight. But then I got to a point where like, if I keep dropping weight at this pace, I'm not going to be comfortable with my own body. Like I'm gonna look bad. So I added another cheat day to keep myself kind of balanced out. And that's my... That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Yeah, I'm only eating this because I want to stay at this weight. Couple quick questions and I'll let you out of here. Like I told you, we've been talking the whole time. We gave up meat like a year ago, a little less than a year ago. But one thing we haven't found is we found burger supplements and we'll have burgers and that's great. We have not found a good fried chicken option. Is there one that you know of? Because we would love to have some kind of fried chicken option. What do you prescribe?
So first of all, and I'm going to say this publicly because I think that everybody should hear this. I mean, guys, be careful with things like Beyond Meat and Impossible.
Please don't say that.
And like all that stuff. I mean, can you pronounce every ingredient on that ingredient list?
I haven't looked at it. I've looked the other way.
Do you know it's chemically made? It's produced in a lab. All joking aside, if you can't pronounce it, if you don't recognize it, your body doesn't either. Like, that's just like rule of thumb, something super important to keep in mind. Once in a while, fine. But, you know, substituting the meat for that, I almost rather you have grass-fed, grass-finished, where you know where it's coming from, rather than that. You know, I think it's a recipe for disaster, and I don't really like all the hype that it's getting.
Mm-hmm.
For fried chicken, I have seen a lot of, like, prepackaged things out there. I know that there's a restaurant in Atlanta that makes the best fried chicken out of oyster mushrooms. And that is something that I've been very curious to try, although I haven't tried it. But again, mushrooms have that meaty chicken consistency that even when you bite into it, it almost kind of separates just the same way that chicken does.
Right.
So you get like a 2-for-1, right? Because it has that texture, it absorbs whatever flavors you give it, plus it has all of the important nutrients and fiber, you know, immunity boosting. I mean, shiitake mushrooms are incredibly immune boosting and they're so good for your health. I'm actually getting ready to teach a workshop on plant-based eating on February 11th. And one of the things I'm going to teach my group is how to make bacon out of mushrooms, right? Because you can do that.
We're going to need that recipe.
Yes, absolutely. I will 100% it to you guys. It's such an easy thing to do. And again, using mushrooms, mushrooms are super versatile. Like I said before, beans. If you miss chicken salad, chickpeas mashed is like a great substitute, which gives you like that chewy texture, that nice texture, which you can dress it with whatever your favorite dressing is. And you don't feel like you're missing out. It's just like getting yourself used to it and starting little by little so that your taste buds become used to it. Your body becomes used to it. And then you build from there. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. This is a lifestyle. Like, you've been eating a certain way for a very long time. It's going to take a minute for you to retrain and get your new lifestyle up and running. You know, be patient with the process, enjoy it, embrace it. And the changes are just so unbelievable that I guarantee you, you know, in the long run, you're going to look back and you're going to be like, wow, this is amazing.
Carbs, bread, pasta. Where are you on those?
Simple carbs are processed foods, processed flour, white bread and white pasta. But when you have breads that are made, and I have actually a delicious recipe for these hamburger buns that are made with almond flour and psyllium husk. And there are really great alternatives for these types of foods that are made with grains, you know, like the right types of grains are actually good for us in moderation, just as long as, you know, they're gluten-free and non-GMO, because a lot of these grains, when they're not, they're genetically modified, and that's when we run into problems. But if you know where they're sourced from, if you know that they're gluten-free, you know, they're really good, and they're great substitutes, especially when making the transition into a plant-based lifestyle.
Tell us where we can find you.
Absolutely. You guys can find me at The Latina Health Coach on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. www.carlasalinari.com is my website, and watch out for my bilingual cookbook inspired by Latin recipes, which will be out by the end of this year.
We'll be looking forward to that for sure, especially my household. Thank you so much for doing this. You're a wealth of knowledge.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my good friend, William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. I mentioned two episodes ago that we used to get just shit-faced drunk together. I mentioned last episode that he really is a great realtor. In this episode, I want to mention that, like me, William is a father of a baby girl. And if you want his daughter to eat and have shelter and access to health care, call him for all of your real estate needs in Tennessee, 615-216-4809. And remember, if you don't buy a home from him, you're basically hating on his daughter. That's not cool. Call him, 615-216-4809. All right, that's it. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Carla Salinari, a.k.a. the Latina Health Coach. Don't forget to follow me Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse at DoloWite101, DoloWite101. And make sure you subscribe to this podcast and download every episode on every possible app. You can also leave a positive review if that's in your heart to do so. I'm out.